What do you do when life gives you what you do not want? It's the offertory prayer in a small country church, and as the deacon of the morning walked up to stand behind the pulpit, every head was bowed, every eye was closed. The pastor was behind the deacon, and he began to pray, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." And the pastor looked up. He said, "And I don't like lard either." And he thought, where is he going with this? He said, "And I don't like plain old flour. But when you mix them together and you bake them in the oven, I sure do love biscuits. So Lord, when life gets hard, when things happen that we do not want, when we can't figure out what you're doing, help us to wait and see what you're making. Because we trust that after you're done mixing and baking, it's going to be even better than biscuits. Amen." I kind of like that prayer. There is a lot of wisdom in old country deacons. And we know there are things coming up in our lives right now that we don't want. Social distancing, sheltering in place, flattening the curve. None of us were familiar with those terms just 3 weeks ago, and yet now they literally dominate the way we live our lives. We spend our days trying to figure out how to set up a new normal in the midst of them. We vacillate between fear when we watch the news, or frustration and boredom at different parts of the day, and a faith in what God is doing in the world. And one fair question for us to ask when things get turned upside down is, how is it that God is going to help us in these days? Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble." You are not alone. Your faith is not a fantasy. It is not crazy to believe that God is coming to help. The question is, if we can count on God to help us in these days, what is the shape of that grace that is coming to us in our times of trouble? And to answer that, I want to turn with you this morning to Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 28. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 28, a passage which will be familiar to many of you. And there the scripture says, "Have you not heard? Do you not know? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young people stumble and fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk, but they will not faint." This is the word of the Lord. When I attend Isaiah in this place, what I hear him saying is the miraculous way that God comes to us in difficult days takes on three different forms. Let's look at them together. The first is, sometimes on our difficult days, God works for us. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. Sometimes we are lifted out of our circumstance and the world is changed. Not by our own energy or our own power, but by God intervening in our midst. We mount up on wings as eagles. Sometimes, if we wait upon the Lord, the circumstances in which we find ourselves are changed. When we find ourselves in a tight place, all of us want the same two things. Answers, why is this happening? And miracles, fix it. Make it go away. And that makes sense from our earliest days when we were babies. That's what we counted on. Fisher Samuel Lawrence is 9 weeks old. And when something goes wrong, he cries out for help. And if Rachel or Blake don't come and take care of him, then there is no hope for him. And we all started our days that way. We cried out for help, but someone bigger came and intervened for us. Someone picked us up and cleaned us off and set us right. And for the rest of our lives, our first response when we're in pain is to cry out for an intervention. And that's all right. Even Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, seeing the pain of the cross coming, cried out to God and asked him to make it go away. He said, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will be done." If Jesus asked for a miracle in his moment of pain, we shouldn't feel guilty that we do the same thing too. And miracles are possible. I've seen them happen. You're aware of them happening. When we gather together in this room, we're literally surrounded by walking miracles, people whose testimony says, "I was in this place, and had it not been for the Lord, I couldn't have gotten out. But he came for me." But those aren't the only way that God intervenes in the world. Sometimes God works with us. We shall run and not grow weary. Most of the time, when God intervenes in our lives miraculously, it is to come alongside us and to invite us to participate with him in fixing the problem and redeeming the world. That is God's plan A for creation, to partner with faithful and obedient men and women in bringing his will and his way to the world. God brings what we don't have, and he asks us to bring our energy, our courage, our endurance, our ingenuity, and place it alongside what he has. And together, we participate in redeeming the world. Don't discount what God does there. Back when we were in Mark's, I was walking down the street one day, and somebody had a whole side lot next to their house, and they had turned the entire place into a vegetable garden. It was enormous. And I said to the gardener as I was walking by, "You and the Lord have done a marvelous thing with this lot." And he said a little cynically back to me, "Yeah, well, preacher, you should have seen the place when the Lord had it to himself." And I said, "Yeah, but tell me what you could do with this lot without seed or sun or rain." Augustine said a long time ago, "Without God, we can't. Without us, God won't." Most of the time, the way God miraculously intervenes in the world is to work with us, to bring alongside of our energy, his energy, alongside our ingenuity, his potency. He invites us to be a part of what he's doing in the world. Kenny Woods tells the story of his college experience as a waiter. He said, "I worked for a season at the all-night restaurant in West Texas, and as I took the job, the owner told me that there were three things I needed to do to be successful. The first was customers would swallow almost anything that was served with a smile. The second, push pie. The third, every night when you get home and you're dirty and you take a shower, practice these three questions out loud. What can I get you? What else can I get you? Is there anything else that I can do for you?" They call that waiting on tables. But it was unlike any of the other kind of waiting that I was used to doing. It was active. It was not passive. It was like when my dad was dying in the hospital and we were in the waiting room. Waiting. And we were on the very edge of our seats, and our vital organs were tense inside of us, and everything within us was focused on the door. And anytime any doctor came, we waited on any word that they had that might make a difference for us. We were waiting, but we were not still. At the New Griddle out in West Texas, I was waiting with my hands and feet on my customers. I was never focused on myself. I was doing everything I could to take care of everyone else, and it required everything that I had: focused attention, a disciplined obedience, an eager ear to listen. But most of all, that kind of waiting requires action. I was actively waiting, not being still, serving. Most of the time, that's what God is calling us to do in the world. He works with us. We're called to come alongside Him and wait upon the Lord. Can you imagine that? How different the world would be if God were in the corner booth, and at every turn, what we said to Him was, "What can I get for you? Is there anything else I can do for you? What else can I do for you?" Most of the time, God works with us in the world. But there's a third way that God miraculously intervenes in the world. God works in us. They shall walk, but they will not faint. It's the least. It's the quietest of all of God's forms of miraculous intervention, but in some ways, it's the most important. Sometimes, God works in us. God doesn't change the circumstance. What God changes is us. He gives us the strength to endure what we cannot change. And here's the hard news. It is in the slow and painful act of living with things you cannot change. It is the day-by-day living with endurance that shapes you into a different person, that makes you more like Jesus, that causes you to have a greater dependence upon God. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote to the church and said that he had a thorn in his side that buffeted him. He prayed for a miraculous deliverance. God, make this go away. And he surely sought collaboration with the best of medical counsel at that time. Surely he asked Luke, "Is there not some treatment for this?" But one night it became clear that God was not going to take it away, and there wasn't some cure that was going to come. Instead, the word that came to him was, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness." There's a promise of becoming in that verse, that you grow into something you otherwise could not be by enduring what you cannot change. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall walk, but they will not faint. Endurance is not as spectacular as a miraculous healing. It's not as activistic as partnering with God and bringing our things along, God's things, to work in the world, but it is real and it's powerful. John Claypool tells the story. It happened 2 months after his daughter Laura Lou died from a long bout from leukemia. He was serving as pastor in Louisville, Kentucky, and he was making rounds in the hospital, and he passed a rabbi friend of his, and the rabbi stopped him and said, "I want to know, man to man, did God do anything for any of you in all of this darkness that you have been through?" And Claypool said, "As I looked in his face, I realized this wasn't a light question. He was asking from experience. He just wanted to know, what is it that happened? Where is it that God met us in this?" And so I didn't hurry to give him an answer. I thought back over the 18 months of Laura Lou's long and difficult illness. We prayed. We begged for a miracle, that we would go in one day and the test would say we were wrong and it's gone away. And we sought the best of collaborative medical treatment, but no cure was found. And when I thought over what did not happen to us in those days, it began to dawn on me what had happened. He had given us the power to endure. And grace, like a gentle river, carried us along in God's arms. And so I said to my friend, "Yes, he has done something for us. He gave us the grace to endure what we could not change. He gave us the grace to walk and not faint. He gave us a strength that was not our own to face our most difficult days." And I realized in that moment that what had changed through that experience was me. My understanding of life, my sense of what it means to be in the world. It was there that I realized that life is gift not possession. It is grace, not entitlement. And the best thing that we could do in the face of this overwhelming loss was to have a deep and abiding gratitude for the time that we had had with Laura Lou, rather than allowing ourselves to become bitter because we only had her for 10 years. So here we are, worshiping via webcast and wondering, how is it that God is going to come to us in these days? And the safest thing that I can tell you is that sometimes God miraculously works in the world for us. He changes the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And sometimes God's miracle is that he comes alongside us. He works with us. He brings a strength that we don't have and invites us to bring the strength that we do have to make the difference. And sometimes God works in us. And he gives us an endurance to bear what we cannot change, so that we are the ones who are somehow different on the backside. You are not alone. Your faith is not a fantasy. God is with us in this, and he promises that our strength is going to be renewed. You know, some scholars say Isaiah has it backwards. That the progression of the way life works for us is first you walk, and then you run, and then you soar. I have to tell you that in my experience, Isaiah has this right. And that if you will hold fast to the truth, if you will wait upon the Lord, and if you will give him latitude in his wisdom to know how to come to you in your trouble, if you'll hold fast to that and know that God loves us the most and knows more than we do and wants what is best, you will not be disappointed. He will come to you. So be patient and have hope and live in grace.